You know, 10 months ago, we made a decision to redefine our direction. We knew there would be ups and downs this season. We knew that we would encounter some things that were going to be difficult, and we did. With that said, I think we're in a better place today than we were at this time last year. And I think we have an opportunity to grow as an organization starting today.
Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA.
Levine, he goes right. Oh!
Stop it, Sampson! Did you not get the memo?
Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA.
Here's Enes Kanter, what are you doing? The finisher in New York City.
Your number one source for Chicago Bulls news and stories.
We're going to preach patience. Doesn't mean we're not going to be looking for ways to get better, but a lot of it's going to come internally. We need Zach LaVine to be a better basketball player. Chris Dunn to come back a better player. Lauri Markkanen, Bobby Portis, you go down the line. They have to put in the time, and confident that they will.
So kick back, relax, and get ready for the best hour of your day.
Like I said at the beginning, I feel better today about our direction and our position than I did a year ago.
Locked On Bulls. Bulls starts now. Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. We're live on Dash Radio, DashRadio.com, and the Dash Radio app. On the Nothing But Net channel, we're live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, 10 a.m. Eastern at 9 a.m. Central Time. I'm your host, Jordan Malley, writer of Bulls basketball and the NBA at LockedOnBulls.com and College Hoops over at SB Nation. Along with me is Matt Peck, writer of Bulls basketball and the NBA at LockedOnBulls.com and host of the 312 show on AM 1590 WCGO in Chicago. Follow us on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls underscore Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. Like us on Facebook, Facebook.com/LockedOnShibles, and subscribe to the show on iTunes, Android, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, and anywhere you find podcasts, you will find us. Make sure to follow the Locked On Podcast Network on Facebook and Twitter as well. Text and voicemail lines at 331-979-1369. We're doing mailbag tomorrow, so we want all of your voicemails, all of your text messages. Hit us up. 331-979-1369 is the line again. Hit us up on social media as well. If you've got a question, you want to interact with us there, Facebook and Twitter as well, at Locked On Bulls. We have a great guest for today's show, a little bit more lighthearted than yesterday's episode was. We have Paige DeMacos on today's show. She's the host of the Fantasy Football TD Fantasy podcast, as well as one of the biggest Chicago sports fans you'll find in this business. So we talked to her about all different things related to the Chicago Bulls. You can follow her at @_sports_Paige on Twitter. Without further ado, here is Paige DeMacos.
Right now, we're very pleased to welcome to Locked On Bulls for the first time, Paige DeMacos. You can follow her on Twitter at @_sports_Paige. That's Paige with an I. A huge fantasy football nerd, one of the hosts of TD Fantasy Podcast, which is part of the Scout Fantasy Sports Network. And of course, she is a diehard Chicago sports fan. She is a great follow on Twitter for Chicago sports fans. Paige, welcome to the show. How you doing?
Thanks, guys, for having me. I'm doing all the sports stuff going on in Chicago. This happens this time of year because I start tweeting more about Bulls and Bears and Cubs, and everybody's like, "Oh, she's in Arizona. She's a Chicagoan." I'm like, "Yeah, no, I live in AZ, but I don't claim Arizona. Let me just be very clear. I love AZ weather."
But why would you claim AZ when you can claim Chicago? I mean, if we're talking about sports cities, there's really no comparison.
No, you're talking about the greatest sports city in the world versus a poor excuse of a sports city. I'll be nice and leave it at that.
Well, that's very gracious of you. I was really enjoying your Twitter feed during that awesome Cubs-Nats Sunday Night Baseball extravaganza. So just to clear things up before we start talking basketball, you are pro bat flip after the amazing Bodie Grand Slam. Is that right?
Listen here. If you don't like a bat flip, or you don't like a touchdown celebration, or you don't like a cram and somebody celebrating after they just get dunked on, or what, any of those things, okay, then you probably didn't play sports. Because if you played sports, you would understand the emotional level that you get to. And I'm talking like, I never played anywhere near at that level. And I can imagine myself doing some ridiculous bat flip in my softball rec league, let alone in a big moment in a baseball game. So for me, like, sports is supposed to be fun. sports is like emotional, and I'm a Greek, so Greeks are emotional. So like, I watch sports and I'm emotional. So like, when I see big moments like that, it's awesome to see the athletes celebrated. And I get it. It sucks when it's not your team, but it's also so much better when it is your team. So I'm pro bat flips and I'm pro 3-point celebrations. I'm pro dunks. I'm pro every celebration because I like fun. And if you don't like those things, you're just a fun sucker. That's what I've decided.
Absolutely. You know, speaking of those dunks and those facials, which, you know, every NBA hoops loving fan should be enjoying. We saw a couple of them last season in the first year of the Bulls rebuild, courtesy of Lauri Markkanen. When Zach LaVine came back into the fold, he had a couple of nasty dunks. So talking about this young Bulls core, we've gotten some numbers, some over under numbers from Vegas. We've gotten the, you know, quote unquote expert panel of NBA analysts from ESPN and their over under on win totals and where the Bulls are going to shake out in the Eastern Conference. And none of them look good. We're talking over unders around 27.5. I think maybe the highest I've seen is 28.5. Are you a believer, no pun intended, in this young core going into the second year of the rebuild, or are you one of the skeptics who's thinking actually that over under might not be that far off?
So I'm a believer in the fact that I obviously, living here in Arizona, got a firsthand experience at watching Lauri Markkanen play at Arizona. I think he's going to be a superstar in this league. I can't say enough about that. I love Zach LaVine. I love his game. I think we overpaid a little bit, but everybody in the NBA is overpaid at this point. So what are we all arguing about? And it's not our money. So I don't understand why people get mad about other rich people paying other rich people. Like, who cares? So it's like, I never understand people getting mad about people using other people's money, but that's a whole nother argument. And maybe it's because I grew up in Chicago, but I've always loved Jabari Parker. And I think he's gotten the raw end of the deal. I don't think he ever really got a chance mentally to get out of his own head after his injuries. And I just think then, obviously, you saw what happened last year. There was a lot of tension in the locker room, and that clearly wasn't a good situation. And I just think for him, the added layer of playing at home, and you guys know this, and I know this because my brother played D1 ball. My dad coaches at Triton Junior College in Chicago. Chicago hoops is its own little niche of life, right? And it exists without anybody else. And so if you can show out and you can be a star in Chicago hoops, which Jabari Parker clearly was, it's an awesome thing and you get recognized and you're a star forever. If Jabari shows out in a Bulls uniform, it's going to be stupid how much love he's going to get. And I think he knows that firsthand. And if there's any opportunity where he's going to be able to step up, where he's going to be able to step up in a leadership role, it's this young team. He's got young guys underneath him. He doesn't have veterans who are going to try and stifle him. And he's back home. And people can say whatever they want, but playing in Chicago means more. And you could tell me I'm a homer, but it's just the truth. Chicago has the best basketball scene around. And that starts from a young age. And Jabari's been through all that. And I've watched it. I've watched it my whole life, watching my brother play and watching my dad play and coach. So I know how important it is for these young athletes to play in front of their home crowd. And the fact that he's going to have that is so much more extra motivation that you can't even, there is no win total you can put. It's not tangible. You can't put a win total on passion and love for your city. So I know I'm going long winded now, but I'm excited to see this team in the East. LeBron's gone. So, I mean, the whole thing's open now. I mean, before that it was like, chalk it up for LeBron. Now, I mean, Boston's going to be great, but what's it going to look like when Kyrie comes back in the fold with all those guys? I think the East is wide open. I'm not in love with the Raptors. I love Kawhi, but I think it's wide open for this team. And listen, I'm not expecting them to win a championship because the Warriors still exist. But, I have good expectations for this team, and I think they're going to be much better than the quote-unquote experts who never watch basketball from ESPN.
I can feel Matt's head exploding through the computer right now, talking about Jabari Parker.
That's cool. We welcome all kinds of opinions on this show.
It's funny because I felt like, and Matt and I have had this discussion on the show in the last couple of weeks, I asked Matt, I'm like, is there any other city in the United States as far as professional sports teams go where a fan base is so prevalent about bringing their hometown guys back here to play. Think about Derrick Rose. You think about Dwayne Wade coming back here. There's people that have been clamoring for Anthony Davis. Now, obviously, Jabari Parker being here for at least a year. I agree with you in the sense that I think Jabari Parker was victimized by Jason Kidd up in Milwaukee. I felt like there was a lot of jealousy because Giannis became the star that he is. And it was Jabari Parker's team before it was Giannis's. And then Jabari went down with the two ACLs and it kind of flipped the script. I think a fresh start here in Chicago, but the added layer of pressure, I think, is going to come relatively quickly if he doesn't perform up to his standards. And playing out of position is going to be difficult for Parker here. But I think it's crazy to think about how incredibly passionate Chicago fans are for having their own players here coming back to play now just for the Bulls. You think about, like I said, Dwayne Wade, Derrick Rose, and now Jabari Parker. Do you feel like that added layer of pressure among all of these guys, these young guys, and not just on the Bulls, but any young team that's in the NBA or in professional sports, might have a chemistry imbalance coming into the season? Think about Zach LaVine, all the money that you said he got paid. Think about guys that are going to try to prove themselves this year. Bobby Portis, Denzel Valentine, Lauri Markkanen still has something to prove. Wendell Carter Jr. has something to prove as well. I'm in the camp that I feel like people that are talked about and maybe left off the script are considered underdogs or just kind of written off. I think those guys are willing to outperform some of the expectations that they have. So going back to Jabari Parker real quick, ESPN rated Jabari Parker as one of the worst offseason signings for the NBA. Do you necessarily agree with that? He came in third behind Carmelo Anthony and Dwight Howard. How do you overall feel about this and maybe this working out or seeing this maybe not work out?
Here's the reality, guys. I have to keep my sunglasses on because Gar Pax is still in control of this freaking organization. So I try and spin anything that happens in positive because I just assume that this team is going to be off the rails until we have new leadership. I'm just being like, I fully believe that. And I think Jabari, this is more so individually for him. I think this is a good opportunity for him. That might turn out to be not a great thing for the Bulls, but I think this was the best kind of fresh start for him. And I'm excited to see what he can do given that fresh start. And I'm leaning towards it's going to be good for him. He's going to be able to lead the team. You're going to be able to let the other guys also blossom as well. But we know how the NBA goes. I mean, a lot of egos, a lot of personalities in the locker room. Sometimes it meshes, sometimes it doesn't. So there's not, it's hard to tell from a chemistry standpoint, unless you're in the locker room every day or you're talking to some of these guys to figure out how it goes. I always stay positive until I have a reason to be negative. So for me, like, I haven't seen anything, so I don't have a reason to be negative yet. Call me 1 week into the season and I'll be off the rails probably. But that's kind of like how I react, like every other Chicago sports fan, you know? So it's, for now, I'm staying in the positive lane. I'm like, listen, let's give Jabari the opportunity to grow and have a fresh start in Chicago, in his home, where he is going to have, you say added pressure, I say added motivation. So that's where I would flip the switch a little bit and say, okay, yeah, it's pressure, but use that pressure to be positive and be motivational and play in front of your city. And like you said, like, I don't think there is any other city that's like that. And I think that just is reflective of the fact that Chicago has such an incredible basketball scene, like just in general, like not NBA, like obviously the Bulls are the Bulls and they've been like that forever. But as far as like the amount of NBA players and superstars that come from the Chicagoland area, there are so many. And, you know, I watched Derrick Rose in high school. I watched Jabari in high, you know, like I watched these guys. So it feels different because you kind of grew up with them, especially if you're part of this generation. So yeah, I still defend D Rose. I still get pissed when people talk shit about him. So I get it. I understand.
Well, I mean, it sounds like you're cautiously optimistic that the Jabari signing was a good idea and that you want to believe in him as a part of this young core. It sounds like you also still have your reservations and skepticisms about the front office, and you won't find any disagreements with myself or my co-host on that one. But I mean, earlier you were talking about how now that LeBron's gone, the East is wide open. Boston's probably the favorite. You're not sold on the idea of Kawhi in a maybe one and done year in Toronto. I mean, Paige, are you saying that you see this Bulls team as a playoff team in the 2018-19 season? Or are you saying, well, like, I believe in them trending upward, but let's not call it a playoff? Because it sounded like you're saying you expect them to be a playoff team this season.
When I say playoff team, I mean eighth seed. Let me be very clear.
Okay.
I think they can sneak in.
Some believers out there who are saying, oh my gosh, this young Bulls core with Jabari in the fold and LaVine healthy, like they could be the fourth or the fifth seed in the East. I'm saying,
let's pump the brakes there. Like John Wall still exists. Like there's Anthony, like come on now. Like there's still a lot of talent in the East. Like let's pump the brakes. I just mean like I think they're going to be better than what that win total is. And I think that the East is a little bit more open now with LeBron gone. Obviously, that's not breaking news. LeBron made the finals 8 straight times, so nobody else had a chance. So I think they have an opportunity to maybe surprise some people and make it as a 7th or an 8th seed and have a first round exit potentially like they did 2 years ago. So I think that's probably my ceiling for them. Like that's where I would be super excited if they made the playoffs and they were a 7 A seed. And then the floor could be, you know, 20 wins. Like it could get real ugly and it could be horrible. But like I said, I'm a positive person. So I'm going with let's like keep things positive. But then you guys can check back with my Twitter week one of the NBA season. And if I'm off the rails, don't be surprised.
I want to get quickly to the coaching here in Chicago with Fred Hoiberg, because Matt and I kind of going back and forth yesterday, got in a little bit of a heated argument about Fred Hoiberg and whether now coming into his fourth year, whether he's still considered this sort of pushover puppeteer or puppet to the puppeteers of the front office and the ownership. And I don't know. I sit in a camp where I still feel like Fred Hoiberg can be a really good coach in the NBA. And legitimately this year, I think is going to be now a real taste of what he can actually do, even though all the pieces don't necessarily fit together. But this is probably the best team and the most, the equivalent to what he was able to do at Iowa State. And the reason why he was brought in to create a really good offense. You still believing in Fred Hoiberg? Are you kind of in the camp of like, yeah, he might be all right, but I don't think he's going to necessarily be here long term. And he might just be a placeholder in this sort of quote unquote, yes, man. How do you feel about Fred Hoiberg, even seeing him last year with this tanking team? Some of the things positively that he was able to do, looking at Chris Dunn and Lauri Markkanen in his rookie year. What are your overall feelings about Fred Hoiberg and sort of this narrative of him being a yes man or just a puppet to the front office?
So here's the thing. I want to believe in Fred Hoiberg. I want to believe in these things, but the front office ruins this for me. Like it's not that I don't believe in Fred Hoiberg. I don't think he has the opportunity because I just think we've got, you know, just complete incompetence in our front office and ownership. And that makes it almost impossible to reach your potential as a head coach. I've seen it here in Phoenix. I've seen meddling from front office, from head coach. I mean, it's a toxic environment and it starts at the top. And it makes it really hard to ever really get a good read on what Fred Hoiberg is. Because I don't think he's been given a fair shot. And I do believe that he is a good coach. I just don't know that we'll ever be able to fully evaluate him because I think the front office just meddles way too much. And I think that makes it nearly impossible to see the full potential of the head coach. So I'm kind of in the middle because I don't really want to take a side because I think Hoiberg could be a great coach. I just think that the front office ruins it. And that's, it's really unfortunate, and maybe they'll surprise me for the first time ever and decide that they're going to let Fred Hoiberg, you know, have a little bit more of the reins and not be a yes man and make some decisions on his own and give him the opportunity to do what he was brought in to do. And I hope that's what happens. You know, that's for this team to be successful long term, that's what needs to happen. I've seen way too much of this regime to believe that it's going to be a good thing long term, and that's the unfortunate part, right? I mean, we're all Bulls fans. We want this team to be good, and it just seems like ownership and front office they're all hanging out together, laughing at all the rest of us because the Bulls are number one in NBA attendance, and they're making a ton of money, and they don't care. I'm like, I look at the attendance and I'm like, yeah, well, I mean, it's the way I used to feel about Cubs fans. Like, I was a Cubs fan my whole life. The Cubs would sell out every game. The team was horrible. Ownership was bad. And it took a new owner to come in and totally change the culture for the team to be good. And that's, unfortunately, when these owners are sitting back and they're making money, and Chicago's one of those markets, like, fans are going to come. Fans are going to show up because it's Chicago and they love sports and they love basketball. So I'm not sure that I can believe in Fred Hoiberg, because I don't believe in what's above him. And maybe some changes happen, but until it actually happens, I can't actually believe it.
We're talking with Paige DeMacos, a.k.a. Petty Paige, here on Locked On Bulls. Paige, this next question, you are, of course, a fantasy sports expert. That's your niche. That's your realm of expertise. So I'm going to phrase this question to you in fantasy sports terms. We've talked about Jabari coming to town. We've talked about the expectations on LaVine. And you touched on your high hopes for Markkanen turning into a legit star, borderline superstar player in this league. And there's all sorts of questions and commentary going on Bulls Twitter this summer saying, well, who's going to be the guy? Who's going to lead this team in shot attempts per game? Is Jabari's arrival going to pull focus from Markkanen on the offensive end? Is LaVine going to get better in his shot selection compared to some of the struggles we saw with him and his shot selection in the small sample size of 20-some games last season when he was sharing the floor with Dunn and Markkanen? So here it is, the fantasy question. Assuming healthy seasons across the board, which of these young core pieces will have the most productive fantasy basketball season? And piling everything together, points, rebounds, everything. Is it going to be Markkanen? Is it going to be LaVine? Is it going to be Jabari? Who's going to be the stat leader across the board for the season, in your opinion?
I think it's going to be Lowry. I've said it earlier, and maybe it's because I watched him here at AZ, but I truly believe I have really high hopes for him. I have really high hopes for him, and I have really high expectations. So I think he'll be the best because he's going to make the best decisions, whereas shot selection might not be the best for the other two and some other and that can hurt you, and depending on how your fantasy league shakes out. But I think Markkanen has the opportunity to be the fantasy star amongst that group.
Question for you, considering fantasy, considering the players that the Bulls have as far as their young core goes, more likely to make an all-star game first, Lowry Markkanen, Jabari Parker, Zach LaVine, Chris Dunn?
Ooh, that's a good question. I'm going Lowry. I'm going him to sweep the board. I think he's going to impress Bulls fans, and I think he's going to be – I think they're really going to take a liking to him. I think he's just a good kid, man. Like, if you guys get the opportunity to talk to him, like, he's just an enjoyable person to be around, and I think that's going to bode well for him in a big market where there isn't really, you know, like, it's Jabari's team, but is it really Jabari's team? He hasn't been there that long. I mean, he is the Chicago boy, but, like, I think there's an opportunity if Lowry really plays well for him to the fans to really grasp onto him. So I'm going Lowry again. I'm a homer for Lowry because he's Arizona and now Chicago. So he's, like, hit the double whammy for me for homerism.
All right, speaking of homerism, let's toss some fun questions your way now, Paige. You can't say Michael Jordan outside of Michael. Can't say Michael Jordan outside of MJ, because that's everyone's obvious answer if they are a true Chicago sports fan, a true Bulls fan, and have half a brain. Outside of MJ, second favorite Bulls player of all time?
Scottie Pippen. That's an easy one. Oh,
that's a great answer. A lot of people go after MJ. I still put Scottie ahead of D-Rose.
Listen, I thought about for a half a second saying D-Rose because I love me some D-Rose. But Scottie's my man, right? Like, if you love basketball, if you love the game of basketball, you have to love and appreciate who Scottie Pippen was, not only as a basketball player, but what it took for him to sit behind and let MJ be the man for that long. Like, because Scottie was a freaking superstar and had to take a step back to let MJ be the man. And all the, you know, anytime I see those two doing anything together, oh my God, it's like my heart melts. It makes me the happiest person alive. I've never been happier when I see the two of them together. I think they were just together recently and did, I saw Scotty come from behind and hug Michael, and I was like, oh my God, I love you two so much. So Scotty has to be the answer. If you're a true Chicago Bulls fan, Scotty's got to be number two. He's the man.
I think I'm going D. Rose on that one, honestly. And I'm a little bit of a younger Bulls fan. So.
Yeah, that's because you're a child, Jordan.
give me a little bit of slack, because Derrick Rose, Jimmy Butler, Joakim Noah, those are my guys. And thinking about back to the 90s Bulls teams, MJ, Scottie Pippen, of course. But I feel like I have to side with people that I've actually watched play, and that'll tell you how old I am. But Derrick Rose, to me, Cinderella story.
You're not getting a pass from me. You're not getting a pass from me. Because I wasn't old enough. I was born halfway through MJ's career. But I've watched, my dad forced me to watch. I have watched every playoff Bulls game that Michael and Scotty played in multiple times. I was not allowed to play with dolls. My dad made me watch film of Walter Payton. And all, like, I've watched so much film of old athletes because that's what my dad forced me to do. So you're not getting a pass from me, dude. Just because you didn't get to watch them. Just because you didn't get to watch him doesn't mean you can't appreciate it. I'm going to start spamming you with YouTube film.
I've been saying that to young Bulls fans who are bro stands, or even just in the MJ versus LeBron debate of like, who's the GOAT? And they said, well, you know, I grew up in the LeBron era, or, you know, I'm younger. I wasn't around when MJ was playing. Okay, do you know that YouTube is a thing that exists and you can go and watch all of MJ's greatest performances start to finish on YouTube? Like, if you care about being knowledgeable of your opinions about who the greatest Bulls are, who the greatest NBA hoops up players are, educate yourself, because the content is out there. You just have to go find it.
Matt, you and I are together on this argument. I feel like I'm 28, so I was a kid. Like, the first memory I have of MJ was in 98. Like, I was 8 years old. Like, I don't remember any of the time before that. Like, 7 and 8 years old is about where I remember watching MJ play. And I made a sign with my dad, and we were at the game when they were playing Utah, that said, "The mailman don't deliver on Sunday." And that was obviously catered towards Karl Malone.
So Karl Malone missing two free throws in game one of the 97 finals. Yeah, I was there. I was in the building. It's one of the greatest Bulls moments in history.
Damn straight. And listen, I was seven. I was seven. So I had to watch the film a lot later on in life. But this is me on Twitter. I've become that person. I've become basically my father, who's 60, and I'm just the younger version. I just get on Twitter, and anytime somebody responds to me about LeBron being the GOAT, I send them highlight reels of MJ, and I'm like, please respond after you watch this video. And 9 out of 10 times, they're like, oh my God, I never saw these. I'm like, that's what I thought. Like, you didn't even watch MJ play. How can you even have an opinion? You can't. You can't have an opinion. I'll fight everybody on Twitter about MJ and LeBron. That's the only fight I engage in, is that one.
Would you care to rebuttal that take?
Yeah, I'm going to let you guys pile on me. That's cool. Like, Scottie Pippen, 6-time NBA champion, 3-time All-NBA first team. Get it. He's got accolades out the ass. I get that. But all I'm going to say is Derrick Rose, youngest MVP in the NBA ever. That can't go undone. The fact that the story, I think, gets me more than anything else. The coming home had point something chance to get Derrick Rose in the draft 2008. Took him number one overall, ended up leading that team. And I guess the tragedy that happened after the MVP year and the multiple injuries, I get that. And that kind of tarnished Derrick Rose's career here. But still, youngest MVP ever in the league. For me, I'm going Michael Jordan number one, Derrick Rose number two. Scottie Pippen can come in at number three.
It's okay. Listen, we're splitting hairs. As long as we're all in agreement that MJ is the GOAT, we're fine. Like, we're all good on that one. But we're like, I love D. Rose. Like, my dad coached his best friend, Brian Orange. So, like, I know Derrick really well. Like, I get super defensive about Derrick Rose when people talk smack about him. So, listen, like, we're splitting hairs on this one, because I love Scotty, but I love D. Rose. And I think if D. Rose's career had shaken out a different way, if he had stayed healthy and had been able to continue to play at, you know, 2010 MVP level Derrick Rose, I think he would have easily cemented himself as the second favorite, because that team had, you know, there's a lot of what ifs with that, which is what sucks for him, right? Because I think that's why, for me, I can get a lot of what ifs with Derrick. But man, watching highlights of him, there was nobody that was more exciting than Derek back then. He was a super fun player to watch, and it's a shame that Bulls fans don't remember. Not even Bulls fans, like NBA fans, like they mock him and make fun of him for his injuries and all that stuff. And I get it. He's a lot of money. He loves basketball, and it's the way his career has shaken out.
All right, so we've covered favorite Bulls players. Let's go with favorite Bulls moment as a fan. Maybe it's a game you attended. Maybe it's just a game you vividly remember watching at the bar in your living room. Favorite Bulls moment.
Oh, that's I mean, for me, any MJ moment that I got to attend live. I was lucky I got to go to, for me, my, like, this is so, it's so specific, right? So, like, if you were old enough to be a Bulls fan that was attending a game live, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. When they would announce Michael Jordan at the stadium, it was an unbelievable, I have been to Seattle to see the Seahawks play. I've been to Kansas City to see, I've been to the quote-unquote loudest places to watch sports, right? There was nothing in my lifetime that I have been to that was louder. I've seen Greece, Italy play European soccer. Like, I've seen some great sporting events. Nothing to me, like, I have chills because I remember it. Yeah. As a kid, I can feel how loud it was. When they would announce out of the University of North Carolina, Michael Jordan at the stadium, there was nothing that I will ever hear that will top what that was like. It was like a roar that was, it was unbelievable, and to that moment is so ingrained in my memory. Just remembering that, like, that's why to me, like, MJ is this holier than thou figure, because those moments to me were so ridiculous, so mm-hmm. over the top. And we're talking not only playoff games, regular season games. People don't remember, like, you think what was happening with the Warriors and people were following them for the 70, you know, as they were going along and people were watching Steph Curry, you know, before the game, everyone's like, wow, these guys are getting a lot of coverage. No, imagine pre-social media, all of the coverage that was around Michael was out of control. Global coverage. When I fly to Greece and I tell people I'm from Chicago, the first thing that comes out of their mouth is, oh, Michael Jordan. In 2018, that's the first thing that comes out of people's mouths. So that's like, for me, yes, those moments, like, I saw the Bulls play the Jazz in the playoffs in 97. I've seen some great, unbelievable moments. I saw Derrick Rose play in some really, really fun playoff games in Chicago. But to me, like, my most distinct memory is hearing the game, hearing Michael Jordan's name called. Nothing will top that for me. That's like my most distinct memory as a Bulls fan.
I'm with you there. Like, and it's still to this day, it's, you know, 20 plus years removed from the dynasty. And anytime I hear Sirius from Alan Parsons Project, I get chills. even if I'm not at the Madhouse, when I hear that song, I think of Ray Clay, the old PA announcer for the Chicago Bulls, and his raspy voice announcing MJ at the final piece of that starting lineup. I'm with you there. So I mentioned that I was at game one of those 97 finals when not only did Malone brick those two free throws, but then, of course, MJ wins it at the buzzer. Definitely probably is up there for me. I also was at game one of the 11 conference finals when the Bulls blew out the Heat, including that insane Taj Gibson dunk on Wade.
It's 3-on-1. Watson gives it up. Here's Gibson.
Oh, yes!
Gibson soaring over Dwayne Wade.
Reggie, would you get off me now, please?
It is the Eastern Conference Finals.
Those are probably top two for me moments.
We were at the same games.
You were at that one too?
I was at both of those games. And Taj Gibson, this is how funny. This is what I'm like, I need help, man. I like sports way too much. Taj Gibson, his dunk, okay, during that game, which was one of the best dunks, one of the best basketball plays I've ever seen live. Like, what, just so much fun to watch. That was the background of my computer and my phone for, like, at least 3 years. 3 years.
This like, is okay. This is hilarious. This is hilarious, Paige, because I'm guessing that you are a fan of the TV show Friday Night Lights. Just a shot in the dark.
Oh yeah, big fan.
Okay, so you know that Matt Saracen, actor actually known as Zach Gilford, is like a diehard Bulls fan, a diehard Chicago fan. We had him on the show just a couple of weeks ago, and he was talking about how shortly after the Heat lost to the Mavs in the 11 finals, he was like upstate New York somewhere on the East Coast, shooting a movie with Gabrielle Union, like some small independent project. And D Wade came to join them and hang out on the movie set just to get away from the finals loss. And Gilford's background on his cell phone screen was Taj dunking over Wade and showed it to Dwayne Wade. So clearly you and Zach Gilford are of the same mind that was one of the greatest moments in Bulls history too.
That is one of my favorites. And I talked an unbelievable amount of shit, and I don't take any of it back because I live up to my name, Petty Page. I talked so much shit to Heat fans and LeBron fans after that. I was like, don't you ever tell me that LeBron James is in the same sentence as Michael Jordan after that happened. I was like, I don't want to hear none of it. I'm not hearing any of it. And even now I'm like, here, watch this highlight. Watch LeBron stop playing basketball in a finals game. Please don't ever call me. Please, that's end of conversation. So that's the pettiness lives within me. I can't take it away. And LeBron walking off the court in defeat and agony may or may not have been the background of my phone for a while too. I cannot confirm or deny, but that might have been something I did as well.
All those moments are great for you guys. I appreciate all those moments. Think those are up there as far as top five goes. I got to go more recently though. You think about back to the last time the Bulls were in the playoffs, obviously outside of when Derrick Rose was still here. So 2014, 2015. Derrick Rose coming back, playing up against the Cleveland Cavaliers, LeBron James there. Derrick Rose out of bounds. Obviously, I could still repeat word for word. Dunleavy passing the ball in. Derrick Rose making the move, hitting the game-winning three, banking it, I think is honestly one of the most incredible plays I've ever seen. I think that game winner to go up 2-1 against a LeBron-led team. Granted, the next night he came out and literally did the exact same thing Derrick Rose did and crushed all of our hearts. But I still think just the lead up to that story and then Derrick Rose coming back in a playoff game with that high of expectations for him to hit a three. I know it might not go up there with some of the Michael Jordan moments and some of the Scottie Pippen moments or even the Taj Gibson dunk. But still, I think a lot of people tend to forget about that moment. And
Dunleavy looking, finds Rose. Rose trying to get open, fires away. Bang! It's over! The Bulls win at the buzzer!
What it meant for me as a Bulls fan, what it meant for me as a Derrick Rose fan too, and just the tragedy, and I feel like the fracturing of this fan base because people were so polarized by Derrick Rose, whether they liked him, whether they were tired of him. Him coming back and kind of conjoining all of Bulls fans together, at least for just that moment. I know, you know, shortly after that, LeBron did his thing and eliminated the Bulls. But still, in that moment, I think that shot, just the way it went in and the way the United Center just absolutely erupted, it's got to be one of my top moments of all time. And I continue to repeat that to Matt all the time. Like, I always bring that play up. And anytime I go to YouTube and see that highlight, it's just, it's unbelievable. It gives me goosebumps every single time. But the one question I wanted to ask you real quick about LeBron, do you still feel the same way about LeBron that you did back when he was with the Heat? You know, 8 consecutive finals, played at the highest clip of his entire career last year, played the most minutes he ever did in his career last season. Like, the accolades continue to stack up. Are you still in the camp that, all right, you know, you respect Michael. Michael's always going to be number one for you. Is LeBron still in that same conversation with you? And I told Matt, I don't like having this conversation here, but I got to get your opinion there.
Listen, I respect LeBron, the person. I cannot say that enough. What LeBron does, the fact that people are like nitpicking how much tax money, like LeBron, I'm honestly disgusted at society, like how terrible. Little nitpicky we're getting. Because LeBron, listen, you cannot like LeBron the basketball player. You can't dislike LeBron the human being. LeBron the human being has done nothing wrong. He married his high school sweetheart. He's got three kids. He's never been in trouble. You look at where he grew up, the neighborhood he grew up, the fact that 14 years old, I mean, the story is almost, the statistics would tell you it's almost impossible what he has achieved in his lifetime, considering how he grew up. It's almost impossible. And the fact that people still nitpick LeBron the human is disgusting, because LeBron is an unbelievable human being, a great ambassador for the game, and I really, truly respect that. Now, LeBron the basketball player, I can still criticize, okay, because I think he is part of this new era of basketball, which you can like or dislike, that's completely reliant on individual players. The NBA has now gone from a team game to completely reliant. You look at how fan bases work now. People are, I myself included, you like individual athletes, and your fandom switches with that athlete. And I think LeBron has a lot to do with that. And I don't like that necessarily. And I understand that it's happening, and I understand it's not going to change, right? So I'm not going to be like the old person on the hill that's like, please go back to the old physical game, because that's not happening, right? But I can look at LeBron. I think I respect him. I'm happy that I grew up and I got to watch Michael, then Kobe, then LeBron. I feel really lucky, because that's like, man, oh man, we've been really lucky as NBA fans to have those three guys kind of pass the torch simultaneously to each other.
And, absolutely.
And so I respect LeBron. I have come to like his game a lot more post Heat time. I liked him a lot more when he went back to Cleveland. It was also easier to root for him after the Warriors created that ridiculous team in Golden State. So it became, LeBron kind of felt like the underdog a little bit, which made it easier to root for him. Although I would argue with everybody, LeBron is never an underdog. Like, look at him. He's not an underdog. So please, like, that was all. I think it's more how the media covers LeBron that I don't like, and it has absolutely, it's not his fault, right? It's not his fault that every single thing he does, ESPN decides to put up a stat that's like, it doesn't even make any sense. We'll find a way to compare it to Michael, and you're like, that doesn't even make any sense. Like, how did you even put those two numbers together? So it's not his fault, right? It's the media's fault. It's ESPN's fault, really.
It is oversaturated.
For sure. The long-winded answer to that is that I don't understand how people cannot like LeBron the person. You can criticize who he is as a basketball player, but the people that are talking about how much tax money and Clay Travis and all these guys, I'm like, dude, get a life, man. Like, seriously, like, what are you doing for your community? Like, it's, to me, LeBron is a great human being, and I honestly can't understand how people could be so ridiculous to nitpick every single thing that he does. I'm happy Michael Jordan's not playing now, because it would have been a disaster for Michael. A disaster. So I'm glad he's not playing now.
Yeah, I'm with you there, Paige. I mean, I've come to respect LeBron a heck of a lot more, and there's nothing bad you can say about the guy as an individual and a human being off the court, whether or not you like the guy on the court. We'll get you out of here with this one. Just because we're talking about LeBron, and because we've been talking about MJ and some great Bulls moments of history, and we've dabbled in the GOAT conversation, but so toughest question is the final question here. Seems like you are definitely in the MJ equals GOAT camp, hands down, no debate right now. MJ's the greatest of all time. Do you see any scenarios where, say, LeBron plays at a high level for another 5, 6, however many seasons, and adds himself a few rings and matches MJ or surpasses MJ in total number of rings won? Would that or any other statistical achievements or anything LeBron does inside the realm of a basketball court for the remainder of his career change your mind on who is the actual true end-all be-all GOAT of basketball?
No. There's nothing. I've said this and I've stayed. I have seen enough of LeBron losing to ever put him in the same conversation. For me, his argument is with Kobe fans, and Kobe fans can argue all day long with LeBron. I think Michael's in his own category. I just don't, there's too many. What I would say is, realistically, that's not going to happen. Realistically, there's nothing that can happen that LeBron will be able to achieve that's going to put me in that camp. I think his argument, go ahead and argue with Kobe fans, and I would say LeBron over Kobe. So that's my last parting words on the GOAT conversation.
I like it. Just a reminder that if you aren't following Paige DeMacos on Twitter and you are a diehard Chicago sports fan, you should be. You can find her on Twitter at @_sportspage. That's Paige with an I. And also, if you are big into fantasy football and you have your draft coming up, you should also be following her on Twitter and getting her content. Checking out her fantasy football podcast as part of the Scout Fantasy Sports Network. Paige, we really appreciate you coming by the show. We had a great time. We'd love to have you on again sometime. Stay cool out there in Arizona. If you ever are a little too warm, once that beautiful Chicago weather starts to roll around in the fall, we'd love to have you stop by for a visit.
Yeah, for sure, guys. I'll be out there. I'm coming out for a couple Bulls games. I'll be out there for a couple Bears games. So I'll definitely hit you guys up. And like I said, you're going to need to get over reactionary Paige when inevitably something bad happens within the first 10 days of the NBA season. So we'll be sure to link up then.
Look out for that as well, Bulls fans. We appreciate the time, Paige. Have a good one.
Thanks, Paige.
Thanks, guys.
Once again, want to thank Paige DeMacos for coming on the show today. You can follow her on Twitter at @_Paige on Twitter. That's going to about do it here on Locked On Bulls. Once again, you can hit us up on social media at Locked On Bulls, at Jordan C. Malley, and at Bulls_Peck. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/LockedOnShyBulls, and subscribe to the show on iTunes, Android, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, and anywhere you find podcasts, you will find us. Hit us up, text and voicemail line 331-979-1369. We're doing mailbag tomorrow. So we want to hear your voicemails, your text messages. Get all those questions in, even if it's outside the box questions. You want to touch on something that we said on earlier's episode yesterday or last week. We want to hear from you. 331-979-1369. We're live on Dash Radio, DashRadio.com, and the Dash Radio app. On the Nothing But Net channel, we're live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central Time. For Matt Peck, I'm Jordan Malley, and for our guest, Paige DeMacos. Thank you again, Bulls Nation, for listening. Be back tomorrow with a fresh episode. For Jordan and Matt, we are out. Deuces.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. Locked On Bulls is live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, starting at 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com.